want to start in Galatians 3:13, so that we understand that God wants you to be healed of all mental trauma. Everybody that's lived, whether or not you've had great mental dilemma, which we'd call a nervous breakdown, or just some moment of grief and despair and despondency, knows what it means to try to corral your mind and hold it steady. Does anybody not understand that? Because I could describe it to you. I came very close to a nervous breakdown in my 20s. Because I'm very steady today, people will give me some description of their mental dilemma and say, oh, you wouldn't understand. It's an awful thing to stand over your stove and you're weeping and weeping. You don't know when you started weeping. You don't know why you're weeping, and you can't get your mind to do what you want it to do. We have help in the Scripture. Thank God for the Scripture. Now, Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. That is written, curse to everyone that hangeth on the tree. Oh, he became a curse. Well, mental dilemmas is a curse. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse. The curse came to the earth through Adam's sin. The curse is here. And yet Christ hath redeemed us. He paid the price so that you could lay the curse aside in your life. So that when the curse touches you, that you have the power of the Scripture and the anointing of the Holy Ghost to lay that curse aside. And I'm so glad. Now, I recovered through the faith of a friend. She said, I'll pray for you every day. Now, I never did ask her. Don't know if she ever prayed for me again. But when I get really distressed, I think, no, she's praying. She's praying. I'm all right. She's praying. And then I'd go to the Scripture, particularly the 23rd Psalm. Read it over and over again. The Lord is my shepherd, I don't want. He makes me to lay down green pastures, still waters. That's peace. Sheep will not drink where the water is moving. They're very easily overbalanced, and they're insecure. And if there's running water, they won't even drink. They'll dehydrate most of the time before they'll bend their head and be challenged by water that's moving. And that's the significance of green pastures and still waters. Perfect peace there. No movement, no despair for those sheep to bend their head and drink. So her faith put me over. And I'm so glad that we can stand together. You don't have to stand alone in any sickness, in any dilemma. You don't have to stand alone if you have great lack or poverty. You don't have to stand alone if your children are disobedient, not doing right by the law or by the rules of your household. We can stand together. And that's the significance of James when it says, call for the elders of the church. And if we'd get that in our heart, get somebody to help you that knows how to help you. Most usually we run to a friend or a relative that doesn't know what to do with us, is only going to come into agreement. My, you got a problem. Woo, you got a big problem. No, don't do that. Call for the elders. Find somebody mature in the Lord that knows this healing gospel that'll stand with you, that'll let you know that I'm with you and I'm on your side, and God and I and you together are going to iron this thing out, and you're going to have peace, it says, beyond understanding. That's the same thing as the Old Testament's perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. If you have peace beyond understanding, that's pretty akin to perfect peace in my book, isn't it? Scripture doesn't say a lot of different things. It says a few things, many different ways. And when you know that and you read the Scripture, you'll have greater understanding. Now it says Christ became the curse. In other words, he took sin, he took sickness, he took mental diseases of every sort so that I could be free. Now, it's not going to fall on me. I'm not going to be free because he wants me to free. I'm not going to be saved because God's not willing that any should perish. I have to have some knowledge of salvation. I don't have to have much knowledge. You know, most people only knew a word or two, a scripture or two. Maybe just heard somebody say Jesus died on the cross for your sins. I didn't have a clue when I got born again that I was becoming a new creature. I didn't know eternal life was to have the very life and nature of God. I didn't have any idea of what resurrection was. I didn't know that the fullness of the Holy Ghost was in me, that I became his temple. I didn't know a lot of things, and yet knowing Jesus died on the cross for my sins, I got saved. If we just have a clue, and somebody who has two clues to stand with us, to hold our hand, and to help us. You know, that's what we do with a child. We don't desert them when they're learning to walk. We help them. We'll call for the elders and say, I need help. One preacher said very profoundly, I've quoted him for years and years and years. He said, if you need help, you need help. And I don't know why we have to tell people that, because people are reluctant. What will they think of me? They'll think you need help.